We thank you for the word that's going to be brought forth today. We thank you for the message that you've laid upon Eddie's heart. Lord, we thank you for the obedience that he shows into listening to what the Spirit of God speaks. Now, Father, I pray that this word today would come alive in each one of our lives. I pray, Lord, that there would be revelation that would spring forth. I pray, Father, that it would liberate us to walk in a new freedom. Lord, that we would walk in obedience not only to you, but to our leaders, whether it's in the secular realm or in the spiritual realm. And, Lord, that we would see the blessing that would accompany that. Father, we give you thanks. We pray right now. We ask, Spirit of God, that you would move upon Eddie as he ministers here this morning. Bless this word and bring forth much fruit. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's funny you should say that. This is just off the top of my head about Michelle with all the books and the information. She must be related to Alma, because I remember I had Alma do a teaching at our home group one time. And I kid you not, she had papers this thick. I'm like, Alma, we only got like 20 minutes. You got like 100 pieces of paper there. And she goes, wow, I was just studying. You know, I wanted to make sure I covered everything. I want to tell you something. She was teaching on us being the salt of the world. I learned everything there is about salt. Table salt, salt from the word, salt everywhere. But she did a good job, and I'm sure you did too, Michelle. But anyways, I wanted to start off by saying back on February 16th, I spoke on, because we know the theme is drawing closer to God, by being obedient. Ironically, I called Sarah during the week and I said, hey, Sarah, because the Lord impressed that on my heart again. And I think it's because of my own issues that I need to keep reminding myself to be obedient to God. And I said, hey, has anybody did the subject on obedience, you know, drawing closer to God by obedience? She goes, yeah, you did. I said, oh, I did? She said, yeah, look it up on the website. So I did. I listened to it. Sure enough, that was me. But anyways, in that teaching, I shared scriptures like Romans 2:13. It says, for it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Amen? How powerful is that scripture? I mean, I've said this time and time again in the home groups, what good is it if we read the Bible, know it forwards and backwards, but we don't apply it? Then what good is it? You know? Ironically, my neighbor had a beautiful, that Marauder. You know that Marauder, Ray, that Gary has? Beautiful car. I mean, he only had like 4,000 miles on it, man. But just recently, he sold it. And I said, why'd you sell it, man? That was a great car. He says, because it's not doing me any good. It's just sitting in the garage. And see, that impressed upon my heart about us and our walk with God and his word. What good is it to have the word of God if we don't apply it? We don't use it. Amen? So just listening to God's word isn't enough. We have to apply it to our lives and then live it out. We need to lead by example to the lost. Case in point, the missions trip, amen? And you know, we don't have to do a missions trip in another country. We have a missions right here in this city, amen? Or what about our brothers and sisters who might be struggling with their walk with God? You know, what kind of an example will be to them if we don't reach out and help or give them an encouraging word? You know what I'm saying? Those are very important things. And I love this part. I had to throw this in there. We say to everybody, and this is all of us at times, oh, I love God. I love God. He's my everything. But are we listening and being obedient to his word? That's what's important. I was going to use the scripture, but I didn't. 1 Samuel 15:22, where it says, obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen? God's looking for people to be obedient to what he asks, obedient to his word. That's better than sacrifice. Yeah, it's great that we come to church and we tithe and we sing and we dance, but what's more important to God than that is that we're obedient to what the Holy Spirit tells us. Amen? I mean, think about Rachel just now. I was thinking about that when you were sharing that story where Pastor Don goes, hey, talk to her. And you're like, what? I don't even know this person. But it was the Spirit of God that led you. And you never know, those words could change her life, you know? Maybe her hair, too. I also, 2 John 1:6 says, "And this is love, that we walk in obedience to His commands. As you have heard from the beginning, His command is that you walk in love." So if we really say we love God, then we have to be obedient to His word, church. That's love to God. It's not so much the prayers or the sacrifice. It's being obedient to His word. And we might ask ourselves, well, why do I have to obey God? I'm a good person. Life's kind of dealt me a fair hand, right? Things seem to be going good. My job's good. My wife and my marriage, we're doing good. My kids are doing good. Well, in Job 36:11, it says, "If they obey and serve Him, they will spend the rest of their days in prosperity and their years in contentment." We want God's blessings upon us for all time. Amen? I mean, it's hard enough living on this earth, but at least we can live it with joy and prosperity and blessings with the God. And not just for the here and now, you know? And I was thinking of Kenny's message about passing things down to the next generation, you know? I don't know where this came from, but I'm being obedient. My father, by no means, was any example of a true father. He was harsh. He was mean. I learned over the years to forgive him because my wife brought to my attention, well, Eddie, you don't know what kind of life that he went through. You know, maybe my grandfather was mean and harsh to him too, so that's all he knew. So that's what he passed on to us, you know. And I can honestly say early on in my life, with my wife, my marriage, being a father to my children, I could see those traits of my father coming through me to my children. But I just thank God that I made the right decision to serve Him, got with Pastor John and Pastor Don, and they showed me what it is to really be a true man of God, a real godly husband, a real godly father, and I was able to stop that. We want to do it for the love of God, you know? I want to be able to leave my children something. Because my dad told me, even in all that wrong and hurt that he brought upon us as his children, one thing he did tell me, he said, "Son, whatever I do for you, you do for your children that much more." So he had part of that right, you know what I mean? Of course, his example wasn't that great. But so I try to do the same thing for my kids. Like, I remember as a little boy, he had promised me he was going to take me to Disneyland. And I mean, come on, as a little kid, that was like my whole world. Like, I'm going to Disneyland. Well, guess what? I never got to go. And I never said anything to him, but that really hurt me. That put a big hurt in my heart. And I carried that on for years. So I made sure, because of what he told me, that, and I know it sounds funny, but I took my kids to Disneyland because I promised them that I was going to take them to Disneyland. And I did, you know? But that's just a worldly thing. But we need to do those things spiritually, amen, for our children. Because remember, we're out in the world. They're out in the world too. We get bombarded. They're getting bombarded too, you know? And sometimes we have a husband or a wife that we can lean on, you know what I'm saying, for the encouragement and stuff like that. But sometimes kids, you know, they don't have that, you know, especially as they get older, they don't have that mother-daddy thing. And sometimes they rely on their friends, and you got to be careful who you hang with, you know, because they might get close with those friends, and if they're not godly or giving them good counsel, you know, that can lead them astray. So we just got to be careful. I don't know where that came from, but I guess I needed to share that. So now that I've shared a little bit about the importance of being obedient towards God, I want to share with you what the Lord put upon my heart, and Pastor Don had me put it out there: obedience to God's leaders over us. We are known as children of God, God's ambassadors, and yes, Jesus even referred to us as sheep. In John 10:11, he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." As Jesus put it, we are sheep, And God has put shepherds over us to take care of us, our pastors. Thank God for that. God has entrusted us, his sons and daughters, to our pastors for his authority over us. And I love this scripture. I read it this morning to my wife. I'm really attached to the scripture. It says, Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. I looked on the internet. I've always wanted to say that. How you know? I looked on the internet. I've never really had to say that, but I wanted to say it this time. I've always wanted to say that. Just ask Ray Maldonado and Ray Silva. Every time Ray Silva comes up to me with some compounded thing, I'm like, dude, where'd you hear that? On the internet. And then me and Ray Maldonado, we've took it to a different level. Because him and I are always debating over something. If we get going at each other, it used to be I used to say, look that up on your phone. Look it up right now. Now he tells me, I'm looking that up on the internet. I'm looking that up. So we always kid each other about that. But anyways, I found this article on there. It was called The Responsibilities of a Good Shepherd. And I printed it out because I read through this whole thing, and it is great. It breaks it down about how leaders are shepherds of the flock and all the things that they got to do to tend to the sheep. And it mentioned that they have to feed them, they have to water them, they have to groom them, they have to shear them, they have to deliver the lambs, they have to lead them, and they have to go after those who wander off, and they have to protect them. And I thought, man, that was a lot of work. I thought about David. Remember, David was a shepherd, and he was just a boy. And man, I mean, you know, I didn't live back in those days, but I'm sure if you were a decent, well-off family, you probably had a flock of, who knows what, 100, 200 sheep? Man, that's a lot of animals to watch after. But then I think about this church, you know, we got about 250 people, so that's a lot of people, you know? And that's a lot of responsibility for the shepherds, you know? As I read that scripture in Hebrews, they're going to have to give an account because God put them as leaders over this flock. So they have a lot to answer for. And so that's why we have to help them out. Like it said, not to be a burden, but so it would be a joy for them. I know in my heart that these men that are over us right now, Pastor Don and Pastor John, that they are two godly men. God has given given them to us as our shepherds. And I know, without a doubt, that they have nothing but the best for you, for your life. You know, that's all, that's like their job, that's their duty, is to make sure that you can be all you can be in Christ. You know, and that doesn't always mean you're going to get a pat on the back, hey, great job, you know. Sometimes it could be a rebuke, you know, because think of our children, you know. I used to remember raising our kids, and that was part of that badness of my dad about how, you know, that sternness. But I'll tell you, my daughter, she was smart. If she got hit one time on her hand, she never did it again. You know, but my boys, why are boys so hard-headed, man? They just want to test you. You know, I used to be sitting across the room, Donna can attest to this, I'd be sitting there, and like Edward, you know, Edward is a baby, he'd go up and there'd be like a knick-knack on the table, and he'd start to grab it, and I'd go, don't touch it. And he would look at me, and then he'd go. I'm like, you son of a gun. But I tell you what, as soon as I got up, he started crying. Why? Because he knew that he was going to get it. You know, I was trying to enforce that in him, that what I said goes, you know. And that's the way it is. And I can honestly say that, because we had four children, and we were young. When we went to people's houses, we didn't let our kids, you know, distort that in any way. You know, like we would go over people's houses, and they would start moving knickknacks. Oh, let me move this. What are you doing? Well, I don't want the kids, you know, I don't want it to be a temptation. Oh, no. My kids will not touch it. Trust me. You know, But on the flip side of that, when we would have people over, they would start to move my stuff, and I'd be like, what are you doing? Well, I don't want my kid to go, oh, no, I'm not going to move my stuff. You need to get on your kid. You know, why do I got to move everything? Because your kid's here. But see, there just goes to show you the difference in the upbringing, you know. Sometimes we need those rebukes in our life, you know, those corrections to get us back on course. And I know that they're willing to lay down their lives for us. They do it every day, you know. John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And I just think of Pastor Don. I mean, Pastor Don just went on this missions trip, you know. And I know it's a lot. I mean, I could tell by how you guys came back, how tired you were. And I know it was a lot of work, the heat, the walking, this, the that. And I know it's a sacrifice for the Lord. But you were being obedient to the Lord, just like Pastor Don was. And there'll be blessings for it. And I also know that they both had very good jobs before they became pastors. Pastor John, he was a fireman. And Pastor Don was a police officer. Now, for Pastor John, you're going to love this story, these two stories. For Pastor John, he's the one that actually discipled me in the church. So him and I would get together a lot, and I'd ask him about his job because he was a fireman, you know. And he would always share, you know, stories about, you know, the fire he had to go to and this and that. And I used to ask him, well, Pastor John, what do you like best about your job, you know? And he used to go, the fire. I'm like, what? He goes, oh, yeah, I love it, man. When I'm the lead, I get the hose. Come on, boys. Down on my hands and knees, walking through somebody's house, which, I mean, you don't even know the layout of the house, right? And he says, there's smoke all over and fire. He goes, I love it. I'm like, really? Whew, brother. Thank God there's firemen. Because, you know, whew. I don't know about that. But anyways, along with that, I can attest to say that he did love fires because, and I'm going to share this story. Way back when the church was early, the men used to go on like a weekend retreat. And we went to some, I can't even remember where it was, some campsite, right? And it became the first evening, and so the guys wanted to get together, right, make a little fire. Not that we held hands, but everybody got close around the fire, and we were going to sing some Christian songs, right? Here comes Pastor John. He's like, got his guitar. He's like, what's that? I go, it's fire. Oh, that ain't no fire. He step aside. This man went out in the woods and came back with a tree. I mean, a whole tree. He stuck that thing in there. And I'm going to tell you what. We were close enough in a circle where we could just be like this and hold hands if we wanted to. Brother, we were like around a redwood tree. That fire was so intense. I told Pastor John, I'm surprised your guitar strings didn't melt. That's how hot it was. I mean, this fire, I kid you not, and I'm not exaggerating, it was about 15 feet tall. The ranger station was about a mile away. They came to our campsite. They thought there was a forest fire. I kid you not. They're like, hey, what's going on here? And, you know, Pastor John. His face was all red and so hot, he didn't want to admit it was that hot. You know, oh, we're just having a campfire, singing some songs. He goes, well, brother, that's a little high, you know. Well, you can see that from a mile away. I told Pastor John, what were you trying to contact the space shuttle or what? Brother, that thing was huge. But that's how much that man loved fire, you know. And he's crazy. And then with Pastor Don now, I know this man has shared a few stories with me, but I wanted one that would really hit home. And I'm sitting there at my computer getting this teaching together, right? And I'm like, there's no way to get a hold of Pastor Don. He's all the way in Mexico. You know? I said, what can I do? Ah, the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. I said, the next best thing, I'm going to his wife. Because we all know, Lord, don't lie. So I call up Laura. Hey, Eddie, how's it going? Hey, Laura, I'm doing this teaching. How you doing, by the way? Blah, blah, blah. And I said, can you tell me, I know Pastor Don was a policeman, what he loved most about his job? I said, Pastor John, you know, I knew he loved fire. What did Pastor Don like most about his job? She goes, well, there's a couple things, but I would have to say probably the authority that came with it. I'm like, whoa, really? Like, I couldn't guess that one. She goes, no, I don't kind of mean like the thumb down authority. She says, I think he loved the authority because it put him in charge, and then he was able to use that opportunity to do God's work. And right away, I thought of Steve Shank. Steve pulls you over for speeding. You're pulling out your license, and he just goes, you know Jesus? If you do, I'm going to let you go. Well, no, officer, well, if you accept him right now, I'll still let you go. No, but I said, oh, really? And she goes, yeah, he liked to use that opportunity, you know. And then there was, I can't remember the scripture she told me, but there was a scripture they used. What is it? Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Woo, I'm glad I wasn't in handcuffs. But anyways, I told Laura, is there a story I could share that the church would love? And she goes, oh, yeah. She goes, I got one right in mind for you. I said, yeah, what is it? She goes, now, mind you, I'm just sitting down all relaxed. And Laura, you could tell she's biting at the bit to share this story. She goes, he brought home a hooker. I'm like, excuse me? She goes, the man brought home a hooker. And I'm thinking, whoa, is this a prank? She goes, she was on the street, had nowhere to go. Pastor Don, being like Steve, looking for the lost. She said he wound up ministering to her, a letter to the Lord. But then because she was a hooker, she was on the street, she had nowhere to go. So he brought her home. And I'm thinking, oh, well, I guess that's not too bad. Laura goes, wrong. She goes, number one, I was pregnant. She said, number two, he worked midnights. I said, what does that mean? She goes, he brought her home, and then he went to work. I said, are you kidding me? She goes, no. She said, I got all frantic. I'm thinking, we don't even know who this lady is. I'm going to go to sleep. She's here. I mean, who knows what she's going to do? And then, I won't go into all the details, but Laura said she actually got sick. I mean, like, Mexico sick. It was all over the place. She goes, she destroyed my bathroom. And then I can picture, she said, Laura went right out of the house to her neighbor, which was Claire Lorge, who, Pastor Scott used to be here too. And she's running down the street, And she said, Claire was like, what happened? Who died? What's going on? And she's like, there's a hooker in my house throwing up all over the place. So I can only imagine. But as I thought about it, I thought, yeah, that's Pastor Don. That's Pastor Don. That's hilarious. Anyways, Titus 3:1. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good. And I would like to spend a little time on that part right there. To be ready to do whatever is good. And again, I shared the story with Pastor John going on the missions trip. And he told us, when I thought I was going, we were going to all the meetings, and he kept telling us time and time again, we got this set itinerary, but it's not set. Be ready for change at a moment's notice, right? And I thought of that. Be ready to step in and do whatever is good. Colossians 3, 23-24 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. We have to keep that in mind, church. The pastors are just the spokesperson for God. And I'm not saying that we can't hear from God. I know we hear from God. We're saints. We have the Holy Spirit. We can hear from God. But there are times in our life where we're not too sure. And the Bible says, go and get two or three witnesses. You know, line it up with the Word of God. Go to the pastors. I mean, they're supposed to be our direct line. So, you know, what's the harm in going to them and say, hey, pastor, I've been thinking this or feeling this. What do you think? You know, I would rather have 5 or 6 or 7 brothers and sisters saying, yeah, Eddie, I really think that's it, than just trying to chance it on my own. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what's the harm in that? You got to remember that we're doing it for the Lord. We want to please Him. So we want to make sure that we're being obedient, that we're not sinning, and that we're not causing dissension. Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Remember, we want to live in peace and joy and happiness. Myself, and here's a story about myself. A little while ago, I was scheduled for 3 separate teachings in a span of about 10 days. And I was telling Donna, oh my God, man, do they know I work 40 hours a week? And I got to come up with 3 teachings in 10 days? And Donna's like, you can do it. She says, it's not you, it's the Lord. I go, yeah, you're right. Say, I need my wife. You're right, you're right, you're right. But the funny thing was, I got through it, of course, the Lord. And when I was finished, this was the funny part, I was bragging. I went up to Bob Gasly. Hey, I'm done, son. I ain't got to do nothing until August 3rd. I'm done. I even was bragging at work. I'm done, I'm done, I'm a free man. Well, God had other plans. Then Pastor John had to have his surgery. And he came over to the house and explained everything. And he's like, yeah, you know, because you know Pastor John, he's always worried about his flock, you know. Well, you know, I want to make sure that there's someone there to do this. And I'm like, Pastor, you know, you got leaders to help you. You just need to take care of yourself. Brother, we're worried about you and your health. That's what's most important, you know. And so here I am today, trying to do whatever is good by sharing the word, amen. And anyways, I wrote this down. You're all familiar with the Nike slogan, right? What's the Nike slogan? Just do it. You know? And that brings me to my brother Ray back there. Yeah, you. I'll tell you, I came in last Sunday. Bob was being just like Pastor John, man. You could tell how they met. Because he sounded just like him. He had his itinerary. You're doing this, you're doing that. I'm doing this, you're doing that. At this time, at that time, I'm like, oh, okay. Well, then Ray comes up to me. Brother, I love you, man. Ray comes up to me and he's like, I'm going to try to act this out. I come through the door. I'm all happy, peppity. And he's like, hey, brother. Hey, brother. Yeah, what's up, Ray? Donovan just texted me. Yeah? He's not going to be here. And? What announcements? I said, well, didn't Pastor John and Donovan said that you might be the go man? He goes, well, yeah. I go, well, then just do it. Fill in the gap. And I walked away, and you could see Ray's like. And so I was ushering that Sunday, right? And Ray did some songs, and Donna and Ashley, they all came up here and did their songs, right? Well, Mark Hogan was ushering with me, and he comes up to me, and he goes, hey, check out Brother Ray. I kid you not, brother. Ray was in his pew just like, you know, he sits on the end. He's just like this. And my wife was up here singing. Everybody was doing a great job, and I'm all into the worship, and here's Ray. He's like, he has his glasses on. I said, man, is that brother trying to memorize it or what? I'm thinking, brother, it's 3 announcements. I mean, this man goes into, you know, meetings, you know, and stuff. He's in sales. And it's 3 announcements. And I mean, brother, I love you, man. He was all like, oh, man, I got 2 announcements, man. He's standing up here. He's all like ready to go. He's got the mic. I mean, if he'd have been in a room by himself, he'd have been practicing. I know he would have. A beer. Hello, church. I was just wanting to say. Brother, I love you, man. I wrote here. I know he was a little nervous, but the fact of the matter is, he wanted to give the best he could, not only to the Lord, but to you guys. because you're his family. He don't want to give you second best. He wanted to give you the best. Amen? And that's the attitude we got to have. Because he was doing it for God. He wasn't doing it for man. I also wanted to put in just a personal plug for my own life and say for the men that God has put into my life, I don't want to mention any names, but you know who you are. And I just want to say I'm truly grateful to the Lord for you guys being in my life. Because I know that when I need you, you're always there for me. You're always there to do whatever is good. You're my true brothers in Christ. You're my true brothers. You're my true family. Because you guys are always willing to lay down your life for me. And I just thank God for that. And we want to be that same example for our pastors. Amen? Because that's a tough job. It's a tough job. You know, I remember my wife used to work. How many know that it's hard to work for the public, man? Nancy. Because you just can't ever please everybody. You're not going to please everybody. You know? And the only thing we can do is just grin and bear it, you know, and just try and be that godly example. You know, I mean, we had a situation on our airplane once, and I'm not even going to go into that. Of course, that one took some prayer. I'm not going to mention who you are. But, you know, they don't know any better. You know, if they don't got God in their life, they're going to live worldly. You know, we're trying to live godly. The two can't really meet, you know, because we don't see eye to eye. So anyways, in closing, I would just like to say that God has given us our shepherds, Pastor John and Pastor Don. And they left their jobs. And how ironic that they were a fireman and a policeman. People that their jobs depended on them protecting and helping others. Amen? I could just see how God groomed them for that, you know? To become shepherds for us. One of their many tasks, as I stated earlier, is to feed us God's word so that we can mature and properly be properly equipped to help further God's kingdom and his will for our lives. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Now think about that with our children. Didn't we try them, raise them up properly? Why? We try to raise them properly so they know how to act. Amen? We try to train them through education so that they can get a good job. Why? So they could be prepared for life. Well, our pastors are doing the same thing. They're feeding us God's word. They're trying to live their life as an example of how we should live it so we can live a good life for Christ. Amen? They're trying to equip us for everything that we're going to need to get through life, through righteousness and holiness, and along the way to bring others to know him. And the only way we can do that is we got to live what we're speaking. Amen? I mean, there's no better mockery of Christ when we profess to be Christians and you go out into the world and no one sees a difference between you and the unsaved. It's a mockery to the Lord. We're supposed to be what? A light in the darkness. Them people are lost. And like I try and tell a lot of people, you know, we don't hate the people because of what they're doing. It's the sin they're in that we hate. Because that person was still made by God. That's still God's son or his daughter. You know, who are we to you know what I mean, to not like them or just rebuke them or just have nothing to do with them? God still loves that person. I mean, Jesus told the disciples, the healthy have no need of a physician, but the sick do. We got to go out and reach the sick. Amen? But in order to do that, we got to know what we're doing. In closing, I know in every October is Pastor Appreciation Month, but I think we need to tell them more frequently than once a year that we love them, appreciate them, and we thank God for them. We should do that more on a daily basis. Amen? Amen. So I just know that I thank God for these men. I know they helped out my life. They helped out my marriage, my children. They had a part in all my life. All my life. Even the roughest part I had of my finances. I shared that story about how I didn't want Pastor John talking to me about my money. But, you know, I got over that. And I'm glad that he was persistent, that he didn't give up, you know. Because now we're not in bondage to that anymore. You see, if I would have tried to do it my way, I'd still be in bondage. It was tough and it was hard, but I got through it. And you know what? It doesn't matter what it is that's holding you up. They can help you get through it. Amen. Nothing's impossible for God. God is limitless in all he can do. Amen? Amen? Amen. Could I have the prayer team come forward, please? After I close, if you want prayer, the prayer team's up here for prayer. We're going to have coffee and donuts upstairs. My prayer is that you guys just have a blessed week. It's going to be a nice day today, a little hot, but it's going to be nice. Go out, do something nice. Amen? And I'm just going to put a plug out there real quick for the ushers. The ushers for this year and the ones that served last year. Another quick reminder, tomorrow at my house, Joe, I didn't get to talk to you, brother. At 5 o'clock is our ushers barbecue. If you can make it, I'd appreciate it. No, not you, Bob. Okay, so let's go ahead and close. Hallelujah. Father, Lord God, I just thank you, Father, for the opportunity you gave me, Father, to share with brothers and sisters, Lord God. Father, I pray that this word that you put on my heart that came forth, Lord, would touch all our hearts and our lives, Lord God. Father, I pray that we would apply this word to our lives and share it with others, Lord God. And Father, we just ask for many blessings upon us. Father, we lift up Pastor John right now, Lord. We just continuously pray for healing on his body, Lord God. Father, I pray that he'll be fit and ready to go for vacation, Lord God, and him and Carol would have a good time, Lord. And we thank you for all the many blessings that you give us, Father God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.